from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Shoot, yeah, here we go. It is the G-Bag Nation, hour number 4, live from the Globe, where our guy has just bestowed upon us a couple of the Seager and Simeon Silver Slugger bats. That's your giveaway tomorrow to the first 10,000 fans, presented by American Medical Response. It's a Mana Monday tonight with Terra Mana Tequila. The bats tomorrow, the replica jersey on Wednesday. We're having ourselves quite a time right here at the Globe. And if you're coming on in, swing on by. Heck, maybe I'll give you my giveaway. You know what I'm saying? I think you'd like it. Silver Slugger bat, you'd be the first one here tonight with it. It's time now, though, for an edition of the finest. We're talking finals coming up in 20 minutes. Here's the Chief.
I'll trade my Silver Slugger Corey Seager bat for 2 Oaxaca dogs. Ooh. 2 Oaxaca dogs will get the job done. Ooh. For my bat, or wow. Corey Seager Silver Slugger bat is what I should say.
I ain't trading this for anything. I'm going to get Simeon Seager to sign this.
It's
baby.
Football's finest, and I'm going to start with 60 seconds of football's finest. I have slid into all of your DMs. Carter Freeman, it is time to post the Not Safe for Work photo to the YouTube and to the Twitch, the fan cam. Get your eyeballs to it.
That I sent you, is it?
This is not the Not Safe for Work photo that Walchuk sent me, but this is a different one on the internet. I am concerned to put this on for the eyeballs. Seriously. Children around the world should be closing their eyes. Do not dare let your kid look at the hair of Landon Donovan.
Uh-oh.
This situation here is as offensive as anything.
What?
He has to be doing a bit.
Lost a bet or something?
This has to be a fantasy bet payoff of the highest order. I can't fathom anyone that still has their wits about them getting on television. How did the Fox producers even allow him on television with this? This should be one of those deals where, like, no, dude, like, we're not going to put you on there without a shirt on, and we're not going to put you on the air with a head of hair that looks like that. Can anybody even go about describing the way this head of hair
I'm going to say,
like?
Yeah, this is a bad...
This is
something. Yeah, this is something very familiar where when... I used to see this at Dallas Cowboys camps, and they used to do this. They used to cut the rookie offensive lineman's hair.
Yeah. There you go. That's a good
right. And they used to... That's right. Literally, the dude's like... ball and well let's go and I don't think they do this anymore.
Used to be a good bit,
but they used to, like, remember when they'd show up at training camp and all the rookie offensive linemen would have the worst looking hair known to man?
This is the worst looking haircut I've ever seen. This isn't even a haircut. This is a guy who is obviously, he's balding and he needs to come home. He's basically,
I think he lost a bet.
I don't even know what we're looking at here.
He should just cut it all off.
This just happened a couple of hours ago, so maybe we'll get an explanation tonight or after the game. I don't know. It does seem like maybe he had a medical situation to attend to, you know? like, oh, we got to shave this part of your head to give you stitches or to look at your, you know.
Could he wear a bucket hat maybe or like a.
Just shave the whole head.
Well,
if
I mean,
that's
I would just shave the whole head. That's
yes.
the play here.
And TV producers, like, is it like that on the other side? Could you have gotten a shot from him on the other side?
Good question.
Yeah,
just move him over to swap him and the old guy that he's talking with.
We can all agree, though. That's
the Ian, the guy who does FIFA.
Ian
Dark.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so they moved him over.
Yeah.
I think he was on with ESPN. He probably just pops whoever's doing the World Cup.
Euros. But it's like you got a horrible fade on one side of your head. There's no fade at all. It looks like a bull haircut.
But
he's left enough of the front.
You don't think he had like a skin condition like. I've got to go to the skin doctor tomorrow before a show. I might have all kinds.
See,
I want
to be
Al Davis when this thing's done tomorrow. I might.
You never know. Out.
What?
You got a lot of skin tags?
I got things. I got like spots and stuff. They might just like cut those things off me.
I do see you have some spots on your dome.
Yeah, see, I might. Yeah, I'm going to show up tomorrow and they'll be like, oh, what's up with Broadus? He's got Band-Aids all over him.
Why don't you take the day off, man?
Just another reason that if you're going that way, don't fight it. Just mic it. Just go full Michael Jordan. Oh, I'm losing my hair. That's fine. Bick it. Now look like a total badass.
Especially if you're going to be on television.
Yeah.
I can't. Whoever, like, he's got nothing but yes men around him. I mean, this is a fireable offense for all the producers at Fox. Like, allowing that to be on television and forcing folks across the world to look at that head of hair, which is.
I can tell you this. I got two extra things to add to this. Number one, Landon Donovan is a highly sensitive B word. Mm-hmm. So the staff could have been like, no, don't say anything about it. You know, he might freak out. Or they'd have been like, don't say anything about it. This is freaking hilarious. Landon Donovan, the biggest B word we've ever worked with, looks like a complete dumbass. Nobody save him.
Yeah.
Send him on international TV right now.
We've got to get the details on how this was allowed to happen.
You.
I think he maybe had to have some emergency surgery.
That's option C.
I think they said, hey, listen, we got to go in there and cut some stuff off your head.
In which case, still, you have to make the grown-up decision to say, like, you just had stuff cut off your head. You're going to need to go and cut off the hair that still remains.
And he can't wear a ball cap because he's got stitches and stuff on there. You know?
Okay, I like your theory.
I'm trying to help the
man. That would make sense.
Nobody else is, but you are.
He was probably like, no, we can't shave it all off. Then people will think I'm bald.
He was going bald anyway.
Clearly,
no.
Yes.
Then everyone knows I'm balding.
It looks patently terrible.
Let me
tell you what.
Stop. Leave a little on.
From experience, 1983, if you're going bald, and you go ahead and shave it off, this is what happens to you. My look.
Well, he might.
This is what happened. I had a full head of hair in 1982. And then 1983, we decide, oh, let's all get flat tops for this game. Shave my head. Look what happened. Never came back. So Landon Donovan might be in some trouble here.
He might be, man.
In
about 20 years, he'll be going to the doctor for spots on the top of his dome as well.
I'm
going to
be there tomorrow.
All right, so the worst offseason decision is sort of like a 2-in-1, like a 2-for-1 special where the Falcons pay a bunch of money to a 37-year-old off an Achilles injury named Kirk Cousins, and then they go and draft Michael Penix Jr. in the top 10. And that's obviously just terrible when you stack those two decisions on top of one another. But it gets even worse when you find out that apparently on draft night, when the Falcons were on the clock, they were obviously picking at number 8. But you had the Bears picking at 9, wanting to move up one spot to ensure that they got the receiver that they wanted, which was Washington's Roma Dunze.
Yeah. Roma Dunze.
And so the Falcons are on the clock at 8, knowing they want to get their quarterback. And the Bears pick right behind them, but they want to do a little pick swap here, give the Falcons an extra 5th-round pick to move down, or actually a 4th-round pick, to move down one spot, knowing that the Bears already drafted their quarterback in Caleb Williams, so they're not drafting the quarterback you want. The Falcons said, no, thank you. We're going to stay at 8 and draft the same guy we could have drafted at pick number 9 with an extra 4th-round pick. The Falcons said thanks, but no thanks. We don't want to do that. That's one of the weirder trade turndowns of all time. I know if you think whatever, the team might be moving up to get your guy, but the Bears already drafted their quarterback. They're not drafting another one. So you want a quarterback, they want a receiver, they want to give you a fourth-round pick just to move back one spot. You still get your quarterback. Falcons are like, thanks, but no thanks. Falcons also just lost a fifth-round pick due to whatever transgressions they had in the process of wooing Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's that dysfunction, dude.
The tampering.
The Bears, being a fan of that organization, would be a nightmare.
I mean, I can't even.
It makes no sense why you would not have moved down, picked up an extra four, and still gotten your quarterback.
Makes no sense. It really makes no sense.
Man, can I say something real quick?
No.
Kids' jerseys nowadays are really kind of cool. Yeah. What they got going.
Kids' jerseys? Yeah.
Kids' sports
very colorful
jerseys?
We used to like, get T-shirts.
We were awful. Ours were terrible compared. Big, bad-looking uniforms. These kids nowadays got some flair to their uniforms.
Yeah, those did look pretty
cool.
Play
good, look good, look good, feel good.
Those were baseball units?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we were baseballing.
They look pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have
like the World Baseball Classic kind of thing.
The Sports Illustrated update from Albert Breer on the whereabouts of Aaron Rodgers missing mandatory mini camps.
He might know.
With the Jets. And it's what we all thought. I mean, this is connecting the dots to a ball-tripping extravaganza with the boys in
the
some
Ayahuasca
random
retreat.
Island. Yes. Albert Breer, very much in the know, says, quote, "The best I can answer this right now is that he is somewhere that they, the Jets, could not excuse and maintain credibility with the rest of the locker room. But it would be expected. It would not be an out-of-left-field thing for him, ... You guys can, quote, open your mind, so to speak, because he's been known to open his mind sometimes into all the possibilities that might create for him."
So it's a ball-tripping experience or a silent retreat or a darkness retreat or something like that.
The Daily Mail ran with the Ayahuasca retreat.
Yeah,
That's horse crap, dude. We got all summer. You trip your balls
for a week.
Off.
You can't show up for a week, bro, and then go on your ayahuasca retreat.
What was so special about this week that you couldn't kick it until next week?
This is a huge one. This was the biggest ball tripping weekend of the year.
He did it to thumb his nose at the Jets.
Well, what else was he going to do on Father's Day weekend?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not going to go hang out with his dad.
Okay, well, I mean, geez, Walter, you don't have to be so heavy handed.
No, let's say it this way. Like he's going to hang out with his dad. Let's do it that way. How about that? A little better?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Yeah,
I'm not sure voting a damn thing when it comes to that ass.
Now, Walchuk mentioned earlier
that you could hit a ball with this bat.
No.
Yeah, off a tee.
No, I'm not pitching at you. You think I could do a bunt?
See, that's what
you're pitching?
About
you think
this
I could bunt?
Yeah. Maybe a wiffle ball.
I think you could bunt with that. If I'm pitching left-handed with my eyes closed.
This thing would just explode in your hands if you try to hit something.
I don't know. There's some sturdiness to that thing.
Are.
That silver slugger bat right here with Seager's John Hancock on it and his numbers.
I don't think you could murder somebody with this.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
Wow.
Do you think you could stop somebody from getting after you?
This thing's pretty hard.
Double dare me.
Murder someone?
Getting after you.
Like someone's, someone's trying to attack
you. Someone's trying to close ground?
Yeah, and you have a chance to go
I
with
I can defend myself. I don't think I'm killing them with this.
I think a couple of hits.
I think this bat is probably
crush.
Scientifically tested to be less strong than a human skull.
Are you talking about a one-shot kill?
No.
Like you wouldn't one-shot kill them or you just wouldn't kill them, period?
I think if you got into it, like you've got the stunning blow.
Yeah.
Now you're coming to drop the handle.
Yeah.
Or the hammer.
Yeah.
I think that's when the construction of this wood starts to give out.
Well, okay, so you think the
I think it's actually two pieces of wood glued together right there. That's
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like you could really hurt somebody with this.
Oh, you could hurt him.
Oh, you could hurt them. Yes. Yeah. He's just saying you can't full-on kill
them. Yeah, death.
I think for insurance purposes.
You could probably put him in hospice or something like that.
I think so. Yeah. And maybe a clean shot. Maybe a clean temple shot.
Hospice.
You know?
Right.
Right there.
Man, hospice is not fun, man. Both my grandparents went through that.
You're going to need superhuman power.
Brings up stuff.
I'm sorry about that. You're right. I should have just kept it at just basic murder. I shouldn't have downgraded it
just don't mind
like
me
a coma
either.
Situation.
Well, if they're already in hospice.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. In
what
this
are you
hypothetical.
Justifying it for over there?
He's just trying to help a teammate out, man. That's all
no,
he's doing.
Not.
That's all he's doing.
Idiot.
Hey, this is pretty cool. Speaking of teammates, Jerome Bettis, a.k.a. the Bus, Ike Taylor, and Plaxico Burress. What do they all have in common?
Shot.
All their sons are going to play.
One got shot.
School.
Steelers.
Plaxico Burress, right?
Thank you. The common sense answer is they all were teammates with the Steelers. Thank you, Gavin Dawson. The
Bus,
cool update on this.
Bus can't cover and then got shot.
They all won Super Bowls.
There you go. Well, now
they're forming a barbecue sauce.
They're all fighting Irish dads as all three of their sons photoed together with their dads.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Plaxico, Ike, and Jerome all have their sons playing now at Notre Dame at the exact same time. How
that's
crazy
wild.
Is that?
So the
that's
Bus crazy. Did go to Notre Dame. I don't know if Plaxico and Ike did.
Plaxico went to school at Michigan State, I believe.
I think that's right. I don't know where Ike Taylor
went. Are you questioning me? Do you want me to hit you with this bat for one time?
Yeah, you want him to not kill you with that bat when he hits you? Hey,
that didn't hurt. Well, yeah. Take a full swing, and the guy goes, ah.
On this day in history, Gavin Dawson's life was changed forever. This is 1975. The Seattle NFL expansion team named themselves the Seahawks.
Oh, the Sea Chickens.
A very historical day. And an update here, because Walchuk mentioned that Les Miles was suing LSU because they vacated.
He wants 37 wins so he can make it to the Cultural Hall of Fame.
Oh, look
exactly.
At this. Look at this.
We got Boston Nick in his Boston gear giving us a pizza dog
look
that he alleges
this.
Is the greatest food
pizza
item
dog.
In this
pizza
ballpark.
Dog. Give this one to Brian.
I can't eat it. I really can't.
The pizza dog.
I really can't. But thank
you're
you,
culinary
though.
Expert, dude.
Oh,
I
look.
Do a whole food video with this.
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Comes with grated Parmesan cheese.
We had to win something tonight, right, Nick?
Let him know.
Brada said
let
he was fasting.
At least he's got his Tolo shirt underneath the Boston jersey. But he does have a Celtic hat on. So, and he did say Celtics in five. So I will tip the cat to you if they do pull it out. They won't, though. Kyrie's bringing it, baby. We're coming back for six. Mavs in seven.
That's right.
Hey, just to put a
Parmesan on
just to put a bow on it, LSU is being sued by Les Miles because they had to vacate a bunch of his 37 of his wins.
Yeah.
And so now he doesn't have the qualifying win percentage for his career to be a College Football Hall of Famer.
Yes.
But people are noting, had he not taken the Kansas Jayhawk job and gone
3-18,
he would have maintained his above 600 winning percentage.
Were those people
going to
pay his bills?
That's what I'm saying.
Poor guy's got to earn a living.
Let's talk some basketball and hit the expressway. LA Live's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. Are you ready to flip-flop on the finals tonight? You know what I'm talking about. We got Rangers baseball coming up at 6:30. All your finals. Game 5 talk is next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bank Nation here. Time to hit the expressway. By the way, Pizza Dog here at the Globe gets a thumbs up from me. We'll have to see what Chief has to say. But salute to Boston Nick there for picking us up.
Boston
Pizza
Nick,
dog.
Big play there.
The combination of the toasted bun and the mozzarella cheese with some marinara sauce on that dog set it off pretty good. It was actually one of the best ballpark dogs I've ever had.
Cosign everything you just said. Boston Nick's been telling me about that pizza dog for a long time, and now he just brought that surprise over, and it hit all the right notes, dude. That was fantastic. You get a great taste of the dog. They did something nice to the bun, as you mentioned.
Toasted?
A little pizza. I mean, if you really think about it, like, let's put melted cheese and pepperoni on just about anything.
I think Thursday, I'm doing for you guys, too, I found, you know, the Hawaiian rolls, they make pretzel rolls out of the Hawaiian things.
Yes.
Oh, baby.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make brats.
Oh.
I mean, I make a brat with beer cheese on top of the pretzel rolls.
Ooh. Perfect.
Like, so take the pretzel, cut them in half.
Yes.
Put
yes.
the brat in the middle, beer cheese on top of it, and then top it and then bake it.
You're so doing that's it right.
I'm doing it on
that's
Thursday.
That's a culinary brain right there.
I've already bought them all, so we'll do it Thursday. Friday we got something going on. I mean, what we're not we I don't know, are we something's going on Friday where I don't think we're in the we're in the studio,
I think
right?
We're talking sports on Friday.
Figure it out. Yeah, about we're in, I don't think we're Friday out afternoon. Anymore this week. This is the only day. We're in studio every other day this week.
That menu item that you just mentioned, that sounds like MVP caliber stuff. I'm looking
yeah,
forward
I,
to that.
I thought about because I saw the pretzel rolls, Hawaiian.
Yeah.
The Hawaiian pretzel rolls.
Dominant.
I said, okay, I gotta take you take pretzels, beer cheese.
Boom.
Now
yeah.
put a brat with the beer cheese and with the yeah
a trifecta.
That's what
of
we're
gold.
Having at the yeah we're gonna have that. I'm gonna bring that up to the studio this
can't
week.
Can't miss though, with yeah. that recipe. It yeah. sounds like it's destined for pure glory. Are the Mavs at 877-881-1053? The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous right here in the nation. This segment of the nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We have some things to watch. For in game five of the finals. The Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts, but I want to gauge, you know, where you are on this. How much hope has game four given you? Again, at 877-881-1053, looking for your text. I think the fact that there was a big blowout win means very little. You know, the thing that I'm looking at specifically is just how much different the Mavs defense was at preventing the Celtics from getting those great looks. I mean, they were bragging about it in game three in the huddle on national TV. Oh my goodness, this is amazing how quality of looks we're getting. I didn't think we were going to see the Mavs play that poorly, you know, defensively. But the fact that they played such great defense, I think, in game four is, you know, what gives me the most intrigue and the possibility that they can repeat it for the first half. I am willing to flip-flop. You know, I pick Mavs to begin, but when you go down 3-0, let's be honest, no, very few of us, there are some people that have been holding the line on the text. I think they're kind of doing a bit. Like, hey, look, I'm going to be more positive than any Mavs fan ever by believing in them and, you know, calling my shot here. And congrats to you if you end up being right. I'm still strongly betting against you. I would say my chances that the Mavs win this are somewhere around, you know, 15% at most. And, you know, history is laughing at me right now for being a homer, just so we're clear there.
For tonight's game?
No, for the series.
Just overall. I mean, yeah, history tells you it's never been done before, right? So it's an uphill battle. I mean, I think that I can understand some of the Mavs fans holding on because outside of game one, these things have been close. I mean, they're still somehow they're down 3-1, but they've outscored the Celtics in the series, I think 108-102, something like that. And it helps when you have a blowout like what happened in Game 4, but they did get blown out in Game 1 as well, so maybe that evens out. I mean, I think I'm really still feeling the same way when we left the show on Friday. You know, you're playing with house money here. This has been an amazing run. Do I think that this is a team with two star players in Luka and Kyrie, that they are the type of talents that could make history? I absolutely do, and I do think if the Mavericks win this game tonight, we will have a Game 7 in this series. I do not think they will be losing at home in Game 6. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful the Mavericks can win, but like I said when we opened the show, I'm just not going to get overly excited. I'm just, whatever happens, happens. I think they can win. They've proven that they can. I think they can match up with Boston. They played tremendous defense. If their role players come out and perform like they did, and Derek Lively, who keeps improving, maybe he can give you 20-10 tonight. He's gotten better and better every game. They've got a chance, but I also do respect what Boston's done, and Boston very easily could close this thing out tonight.
I like what Dawson said about the defense, though. I mean, that's been the backbone of this team really since the trade deadline. For as great as their offense is, and certainly can be in big moments, the defense is what's really carried them, and they were at the height of their powers the other night. And if they can channel even just 85% of what they were doing the other night, and a lot of that felt like just effort things, really trying, especially when it comes to Luka. And again, he can take this defense to from good to great. And you just gave them, you just handed Boston the worst offensive performance they've had dating back to the 2022 NBA Finals to the Golden State Warriors. You just put them in a blender in a huge way. And if you come with the same type of intensity defensively, then you absolutely give yourself a shot in this game. I think a ton of it is, though, what version of Kyrie do you get? Because if you get that type of defense and you get what you expect out of Luka, Kyrie, you come fill the shoes, that, hey, you come give us 25 to 30 points, this absolutely can happen, dude, because I think no one is feeling more pressure right now than Jason Tatum. And you can probably say that throughout this series, but especially right now. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, you let this slip through the cracks, bro. I think he's the one that's playing with the most pucker on the backside tonight.
With Luka playing, like, really bad defense or below-average defense and Kyrie not playing well at all, they gave themselves a chance late in Game 1. They definitely had a chance in Game 2. I think if Kyrie is playing well and Luka is playing the kind of defense that allowed the team to play great defense in Game 4, then I could absolutely see them running the table.
And then you get in a clutch game situation. Yeah. Now it's close at the end of the game. Now all of a sudden, okay, this is where you really feel like you have confidence in the Mavs if you can keep this thing close into the final few minutes. This first quarter is going to be super interesting because you know the Celtics are going to come out sort of with their hair on fire, feeling redemptive, knowing that this is, hey, this they have a great opportunity tonight. The energy is going to be there for them in that building. Weather that early storm. You get into the second half, and now you let your studs be studs. That's Luka, and hopefully that's Kyrie tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said about the Mavs getting better, right, in every series. They've got a lot of players. This is their first time, right? I mean, we talked about Lively being a rookie, but this is the maiden voyage in the postseason for guys like Gafford and P.J. Washington, like huge core players for you that are the reason you're here. So I think that there are some building blocks and I think mental hurdles that they've been able to overcome so far.
And there's something to them getting better in each series. It's the cerebral nature of Luka and Kyrie, especially offensively, and just trying to figure out what it is exactly these teams are trying to throw at them. And just you give them extra game, you give them another game, you give them another game. All of a sudden now they figure out, okay, this is where they can be taken advantage of. And also credit to Jason Kidd on that as well.
Right.
Because he's been really good at adjusting throughout his time and tenure as the Mavs head coach in the postseason, bouncing back and things like that. So I think from Jason Kidd to Luka to Kyrie and just their basketball genius, giving them more looks, more cracks at the apple, all of a sudden, okay, we know what you're trying to do to us now, and now we're going to take advantage of you.
Yeah, and now that they're playing, you know, defense, assuming they continue to play defense, you know, at that point it does – you know, turn into who makes the most threes, because you're getting, you know, contested threes. You're making them shoot contested threes. You're not letting them shoot wide open while you're in scramble mode defensively and they're locked in on you. If we can just get to that point, maybe even if you don't win the series, hopefully a pivotal moment in Luka's career as, you know, he's figuring out what it takes to win at this level. 817, what if they threw Game 4 to win it all at home?
I just don't think that there's any way they did that. I mean, I think that the Mavericks came out on fire and beat the crap out of them. And then when they realized, okay, this thing's out of hand, it's not our night, then they went ahead and called off the dogs, right? They said, you know what, we're going to wave the white flag and let's just rest and try and win in game five at home. But there's no way the Celtics were like, yeah, we're sandbagging this so we can get home. They wanted to sweep this thing if they could have and win it on the Mavericks' home floor. They don't care where it is. They want to win the Larry O'Brien. They've been a team like this that has been very close and has choked in the big moments before. I mean, Jason Tatum's the first player in NBA history to have two games in a series in the finals where he's been minus 30-plus in the plus-minus. He's had some all-time stinkers. These guys know they don't want this series to keep going. They didn't just blow that thing to go back and win in Boston.
Yeah. I mean, you've had a handle on what to do versus Tatum the entire series. And at least for Game 4, you weren't so out of position that role players got to look like freaking Ray Allen and you know, Steph Curry. Because that's, you know, what you had done in too many big moments and, you know, giving them the kind of looks that anybody can make is exactly how they got here. No pro athlete would intentionally lose a championship game, no matter what game it is, says the 206.
100%.
It's a ridiculous idea. And I'm sorry, you know, if you put that out there on text, you know, I appreciate it. You know, maybe you're trolling or, you know, but I would say, like, don't push your opinions too hard if those are the kind of conclusions that you come up with.
I do love, though, that Mazzulla was ready to throw in the towel like late in that third quarter, and because that allowed for Jason Kidd.
He saw what his team was going on.
No, for sure, but it allowed for Jason Kidd to make the same move, and now you don't have, like, Luka only having to play 33 minutes or whatever, Kyrie 31 minutes. I think that's advantage Mavericks right there, not having them with an extra 10 minutes of wear and tear or whatever.
Does Luka stay focused tonight?
I think he does. I absolutely think he does. I think this was, at least in the short term, we had the Game 3 rock bottom situation. And I do believe now that the noise has gotten so loud, and now it's almost like the competitor in Luka. I'm going to prove you, Brian Windhorst, and those alike wrong in this scenario. I'm going to show you that I can. He's such a turn it on, turn it off kind of guy. You can just tell sometimes in games, like, okay, now it's really time to lock in offensively or defensively.
Yeah.
And we've seen it. Like, this dude, we've seen him be capable defensively. So every time we see him just be turnstile or getting blown by or whatever, it's super frustrating because, you know, like, man, if you were actually just locked in and trying right now, if the switch was flipped appropriately right now, you would be able to stay in front of these guys much better than what you're doing on these nights that you're not caring. So I also think being on the road, he doesn't have to just have the referees as his adversaries in terms of just being in their ear and complaining about it. He will have enough fuel from the folks sitting courtside, and he will channel all of his anger, his frustration, his competitive energy into dominating and looking at those guys after every bucket and saying, mother bleeper, you're the one crying, not in the ear of the referee. That's my feeling.
Man, I hope that's Wendy's voice that's motivating him now, right? Because a lot of these battles with a ref, with an opposing fan, once you win the game, it's over. You feel satisfied. You feel fed. If he is responding to Wendy's, you won't win a championship until you get this through your mind, then that disallows him to rest. Every little battle is not the finish of the war.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the greats have to get to is, I'm not going to be satisfied until it's all over and I have the trophy.
Yeah, and from what we know about Luka, like, he definitely has that in him. Like, I could definitely see them playing that form over. I think he was probably embarrassed as well. He knows, like, I let my team down. I fouled out there with 4.5 to go. I'm better than that. I can't allow that to happen again. And in elimination games throughout his entire career, he has showed up and shown out. So he's going to now play 4 straight of these. He was brilliant in game 4 in an elimination game. I believe he's going to be brilliant again tonight. The question to me is more, and I do think mentally Kyrie is in a better place going back to Boston as well. I'm hopeful you get a better version of Kyrie. Again, it comes down to me with the role players. I think that's more important than what you're going to get from Kyrie. We've seen in Oklahoma City, Kyrie can be, I'm not going to be a 20-plus point scorer offensively, but I'm going to try and support all the other areas around the game. They need their role players to show up and be impactful tonight in some way, shape, or form, whether it's Josh Green forcing some turnovers, getting some added offensive rebounds, Maxi hitting a 3, P.J. Washington getting going, what Derek Lively's been doing, Daniel Gafford getting back and being the communicator on defense, where to get everybody lined up. They need everyone else to be able to have that same type of killer instinct that I do believe you'll see from Luka tonight.
How big of a factor has Porzingis out been? I think if you look at the number of quarters the Mavs have dominated, it's 5 in a row now. I think this might actually be something. And while game 2 might, you know, not tell the story, game 3 doesn't tell the story, as time has gone on now, you know, you talk about that storyline, how the Mavs can figure you out. You know, that along with Luka's defense, that gives you at least somewhat of a path you can see.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And we thought that, I mean, especially with the impact that Porzingis was having in the series. It was a question mark coming in, hadn't played most of the postseason, steps right in, and it's like one of the greatest basketball halves individually that we've ever seen, just making plays on both ends. And I think it's no secret why part of the reason the Mavericks have been trending in the right direction offensively with their efficiency, their scoring, their pick and roll, and things like that. A lot of that is because there's no presence of Porzingis there, mm-hmm. who's able to simultaneously guard a corner three while also protecting the rim. He's a pterodactyl in a way that we're not used to seeing. Yeah. So I think his impact, the 20 to 25 minutes that he would be on the court, I think it's huge.
So the narrative would be, you know, once you get to game 3, crazy stuff happens. They get a couple of crazy threes to fall. The dude that replaces Porzingis in the non-Horford minutes hits his first 3 of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But since then, those two guys filling those minutes have been a massive liability. That's a non-shooter on the court that prevents them from playing 5 out. You have Luka defending. It's enough that if they're up by halftime and playing great defense, you hold the Celtics to under 45 points. You get to halftime tonight, up 10, Celtics under 45. I'll put in the call, Mavs going to win the series.
Yeah, because there's a little bit of maybe a lack of urgency from Boston's standpoint. I mean, Sam Hauser was quoted, mindset going into game 5. Well, if we don't win tonight, it's not the end of the world. It is for the Mavericks, right?
Yeah.
It's win or go home. Everybody's got to have that sense of urgency for Dallas. I don't think you have that same killer instinct and mentality for Boston.
We have Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. Tip-off for the NBA Finals in about 2 hours. It's time to go into the
Pink Cup. Maverick fans, where are you?
We're Lucius. How's LA Live?
Yeah, let's get into LA Live here with
right after the great Rick James on a Monday.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance some of everything.
Yeah, baby.
Bizarre murder case to tell you about tonight. A man is dead and his stepson is in jail after a fight leads to what's called an atomic wedgie. Police say the two got into a fist fight after the stepfather made remarks about his mother and their upcoming divorce. But then the fight escalated to the point where the stepson pulled his stepfather's underwear over his head.
I believe the asphyxia was caused due to the what they're referring to as an atomic wedgie. The gentleman had actually pulled the underwear of Mr. St. Clair up over his head, and the elastic band was around his throat.
The stepson says the fight started after his stepfather hit him with a television, and he is charged with murder and is in jail tonight. No bond.
Yeah, that man right there did 30 years. Well, he's doing 30 years behind that situation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was a death by wedgie?
Death by wedgie, dog. Like, he got choked out by the elastic in the underwear.
The band got him.
Man, it's
with
really
his own
bad.
Skid marks in his face
that's
and whatnot.
That's really bad, bro. Really, really bad, man. You hear what happened to David, right? Wedgie got him, dude. Wedgie, his wedgie own underwear, man. You never can be too careful out here, dog.
Man.
Sounds like an Eminem song or something.
No, Wedgie, man. That is so awful. What a nasty way to go. This is LA Live for Monday, June 17th, 2024. It's a Monday Friday here in LA Live. Word of PPT. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their No Bill Guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. And G Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday here on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything going viral out there, you want us to react to it, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner and still champ. Let's go to Sunday on the Fan with Red Medford. 105.3 The Fan, hard-hitting sports. Fan feeding on winner Blake. Man, he just really, in a sense, he just exposed himself.
How close is Denver and Colorado?
What?
Huh?
What?
What did you just say?
That's marked. That's going to get
yep,
marked.
Yep, thanks for that.
Well, they're saying the Denver Nuggets, and we're Denver is the state, Colorado's the city. And it's the other way around. It's one of the two. It's one of the two. I know it's one of the two. You're not going to get me.
G-Bag of the Day will be tomorrow at 2:30 right here on the Fan.
Just sending that one in now.
I just wanted to make sure we appropriated the Denver Nuggets.
You just said that Denver is a state.
So it's Colorado's the state. I caught it then. Colorado's the state, Denver's
the state. You did not catch it. What do you mean?
I caught it. What do you mean?
Jeez. God bless you, boy. God bless you.
You tried.
God bless you. God bless you, son. You're doing a great job of broadcasting there and everything. Yeah. Stay away from those opinions.
You
though.
Hosted well on Saturday.
Yeah, you did great. All right, let's see here. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Just some things I seen over the weekend on my timeline. Let's see. Have you boys ever heard of hot rodent men?
No, sir.
No.
Hot rodent men are rat boys. You can call them rat boys, too.
Rodent, yeah.
Are these people that swim with the fishes?
No.
Like that.
No. Okay. But I see where you're going.
Was it like mafia times? That's what I was thinking. Maybe it was a rat. You know, we got
to. Oh, I like that. I like
to get this hot rat out of here.
The hot rodent man. When a man has striking resemblance to a rodent.
Oh,
Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah, let's go. Well, this is all ablaze this summer. The women's are calling it hot rodent summer. Rodent handsome men are usually more slender and muscular, more pinched face and angular features, unkempt hair, and beady eyes. And this is what the women are liking this summer.
Okay. Yep. Like, so Timothy Chalamet.
I don't know what he looks like, but I'll probably Google it.
He looks like a hot rodent man.
Okay. go ahead and tell us, dog. Let's see. How about that guy, Jeremy Allen White from The Bear?
Yep.
Definitely.
Shameless.
Yeah, yeah. He got ripped for Iron Claw, bro.
He did.
He got ripped for Iron Claw.
And I really think they should have flipped him and Zac Efron's characters. That would have made a little bit more sense. Zac Efron was so physically large. I mean, Carey was the bigger guy than Von Erichs.
Talk to him, bro.
Mike Krzyzewski, perhaps the greatest rat coach of all time.
Yeah, there's. I don't know about the hot, but the rodent face is there.
Yes.
Yeah
for sure.
Josh Connor from The Crown. Josh O'Connor from The Crown.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Adam Driver from Ferrari. That was a great movie.
That was
Kylo Ren.
Yeah, there's a callback.
Okay. Yes.
What happened?
Earlier, we were talking Star Wars.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Talking about his more scene.
Oh, okay. Well, he's rodent hot, apparently.
Rodent hot?
Good for him.
Macaulay Culkin's brother in Succession.
Oh, yes.
He's got the rodent vibes.
Yeah.
And they also said Blink-182's drummer Travis Barker is a hot rat boy.
I can see that.
Yeah, just some things.
What about William Fichtner?
Who?
Are you familiar with Fichtner?
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Perfect Storm. You'd recognize his face if you saw him. He looks like Jeremy Allen White's dad. Sort of like a hot rodent gilf man at this point.
A gilf man, okay.
Brian would probably remember Emerson Fittipaldi.
He was very radish.
Yeah.
Check out Andy Murray, tennis player from England.
Andy Murray. Oh, yeah, that's a rat and a half right there. Not hot, not
very,
hot.
Very tall, very lean like Lucius was talking about. Kind of got a ratty face. Andy Murray.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, if you've ever been told that you look like a rat or something like that, it's your season. Stand up, baby, it's your season.
Yeah, I think up until very recently, this would not have been something to hang your hat on.
Nah. She told me I look like a rat. That wasn't work. Let's see. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Just some more things I've seen over the weekend. A teacher who was arrested for being drunk while teaching her second grade class will not face any charges.
Oh.
Dude, I think I saw
happy
this one
hour
too.
For how everybody.
How does that even make sense?
The district attorney said it's not illegal to teach drunk.
Yeah. Besides, I love that woman.
Unless it's driver's ed.
You need to change that, probably.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and if you look at the photo of her, she was hammered. Boy, that hair was crazy, fam. That hair was all over the place.
Why is your hair always crazy when you're drunk?
I don't know what's going on.
Why is that?
I don't think you need to start drinking until they're in, like, fourth or fifth grade, you know?
What class was she teaching, Lucius?
Second grade class. Showed up toe up. She showed up that morning, toe up. Wendy Munson, 57 years old, arrested October 2nd. Sutter Sheriff's deputies received reports of a staff member who appeared to be intoxicated. Oh, somebody just flat out snitched instead of going over to the teacher and be like, hey, check you out.
Yeah, one of the rat teachers.
Yeah, what are you just straight up snitched?
Hot rat summer.
Hey, tell you what, if your name's Wendy, you're kind of a drunk, aren't you?
Wendy Munson, too. That Munson.
I know. If your name is Wendy, like I've known some females named Wendy.
Yeah.
They were the life of the party.
They can get after it a little bit.
Oh, drunk, yeah. Huh? Wendy's kind of a – Wendy will stand at the bar with you and drink shots, you know?
Yeah. She'll get grimy.
Yeah. She's not afraid.
This girl looks like – this particular Wendy looks as though she mixes her vodka with beer.
That's a terrible
beer
decision.
Is sort of the foundational piece
to
her cocktail.
She calls it P word beer and then pour shots of vodka.
Boilermakers, I think, whiskey and beer. Yeah.
She looks at beer like we look at sodas.
Somebody said the entire Argentina national soccer team is the rat boys.
Messi rat boy?
Messi's got a little rodent, yeah.
I believe that. While the district attorney office agrees that it is highly inappropriate to teach while intoxicated, it is unfortunately not illegal.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Isn't that like dereliction of duty at least, or negligence, or something else?
Kids, I'm going to teach you about
child
alcohol
consumption.
Yeah. Let's workshop this, guys.
It's unbelievable.
This is how you mix a game day drink.
Like, now that you figured out that they were going to do it, you go change the rules and be like, okay, well, this is illegal now.
Yeah.
No. I vote against it.
All right,
vote
no.
I'm putting that sign in my yard. Vote no for.
Yeah,
vote no for drunk teachers.
B for no.
Like Tom Brady said, life's hard. You know, sometimes you need a drink to get
sometimes
through.
You got a second grade. You got to fight through it. You know, you need a cocktail or three or seven.
All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. We're the PPT. Pope Francis met with 100 comedians and writers.
It was funny.
On Friday during a cultural event at the Vatican. You boys ever been to the Vatican?
No.
No, sir.
Have not. And no for me.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody was going to say yes, at least.
I want to go
to that part of the world.
Sounds like you have?
Yeah, I've been once.
Nice.
Been once. It was pretty cool. You just walk around, take photos. Everything's real old. There's a lot of people. Looks real cool, though.
Smoke.
Yeah.
what color is it?
Is it blue? Is it white? What color's the smoke?
Whoopi Goldberg was out there. Jimmy Fallon, Late Night Jimmy. Conan Chris O'Brien. Rock. Chris Rock, yes.
Yeah.
Stephen nice. Colbert. A whole lot of people were out there. But here's the main function of what he wanted to say. He called all these people in here to say, it's okay to make fun of God as long as the joke is not offensive.
Well, how is it going to be funny then?
It's okay to make fun of God as long as the joke is not offensive.
Okay.
You write the first one, boss.
Yeah. He said, just as we play with our friends, you can be able to do God the same way in a sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was crazy. But yeah. In lieu of the Tom Brady roast, how about Netflix's roast of God? How about that one?
Ba-dum-bum.
God on the next season of Roast Me. God on Wildin' Out. But that probably wouldn't be any fair because God knows what you're going to do before you do it. So, the freestyle battle, he's just going to roast you.
You stand up there and say, God goes, that's not funny.
Yeah.
What you're about to say, not funny.
Yeah,
I know what you're going to say, not funny.
You guys have to raise Richard Pryor to go toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, you guys got any joke for God?
Not that I can think of. Fresh out.
Fresh out of jokes for God.
I have some for his followers.
Fresh out. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's see what else I got here for you, boys. Some things I've seen on my timeline. A Brooklyn man arrested for owning a caiman. You guys know what a caiman is?
Yeah, that's a crocodilian.
It's an island.
Yes, sir.
Slightly more narrow snout.
Snout, that's the difference, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes. Brooklyn police released a video footage of a man who was arrested for carrying a caiman in public back in February. Brooklyn police responded to a call of a crocodile on the loose. That's what somebody said.
That's a knife.
That's not a knife.
Crocodile on the loose.
Yeah, someone tried to get this into like
a caiman.
An arena once in Philadelphia, I think. Like a Flyers game or
He had a gator on a leash.
Gator on a leash, yeah.
The wife of the man who was arrested told police he had walked his gator to the gas station.
Yeah.
So it's not on the loose. There was a man with the gator, but people called and just, oh, there's a gator on the loose.
That's what you see every day.
Police later found him walking alongside of the road holding the reptile. Let's see. Let's go to that video real quick here. See if you can hear things.
It's not illegal here, or it's not legal here. That's what I am telling you. It doesn't matter what state law says. The city of Brooklyn, like, you're not allowed to have a pit bull in the city of Brooklyn.
Why can't my family members just come get my animal?
Because that's not how we're doing. You've committed.
By the way, if I called you to come pick up my alligator, you gonna come to him?
No.
Hey man, I've been arrested. I'm out here on Cedar Springs. I need you to come grab this alligator from me. Yeah, they're gonna take me in, man.
Throw him in the back of the truck. Just make sure his mouth's taped. Yeah. We got this, Lucius.
A crime in our city. So I understand that. I'm not saying we're seizing it right now. We're going to call our animal control officer.
Let's put him in here.
So we're going to ask you to do it since you're holding him.
Yeah. Okay. Turn around for me.
Huh? Put your hands behind your back.
What did I do?
You're under arrest.
What did I do?
We're the exotic animal.
What did I do?
You're not allowed to own it. It's a crime. It's a misdemeanor of the third degree. It's an arrestable offense.
I didn't do anything.
I don't know what you don't understand here. You did. You are not allowed to possess that. Just like you're not allowed to possess drugs, right?
I bought it at a pet store.
Okay, people buy drugs from drug dealers. Doesn't mean it's legal.
Yeah.
How old are you?
22 years.
Now, my whole life, I thought it was maybe a fine, a big fine, like $25,000. Yeah. Make you scared of ever having an exotic animal like that in the public, but... I know you go to jail.
He caught a cop that knew all the rules.
Yeah.
Section 518 of the
I think he didn't know
Brooklyn,
what to do.
He knew all the rules.
Mr. By the Book guy.
Yeah, Mr. By the Book guy is the one that arrested him. And good for Mr. By the Book guy for knowing the rules. But I think you'd be like, hey, listen, man, we can't have an alligator walking around on the streets. Okay?
Leashed up or not.
I just read all about this.
Let's do something about that.
And he compared pet shops to drug dealers.
Yeah.
I got this at a pet shop. Well, people get drugs from drug dealers. Like, whoa, okay, what a hell of a reach right there. I checked, though, in Texas here in DFW, you can actually own a Cayman, but you're going to have to go through the appropriate channels, TPWD. They're the ones that will give you the permit. Takes a process, though. They're going to check out your house, make sure you have adequate stuff, big enough aquarium, see if you're responsible enough to own a gator.
Yeah. Just make sure your house has a swamp-like environment.
Yeah. So
it's hard to find somebody crazy and responsible at the same time.
Yeah. Is there anybody on our show that's responsible enough to have a gator?
No, but Walchuk grew up in a house with a bunch of zoo animals.
Yeah, but no gators.
Reptiles.
No, we're not.
You had some iguanas in there.
No, absolutely not. I hate reptiles.
Yeah, Walchuk had some toads.
Just cats and dogs.
My old stripper friend, she used to own one some years ago.
Snake?
I don't know what she did. No, a caiman?
Did she really?
Yeah, she owned one right here in Dallas. I don't know what she did with it, though. It got pretty big. So it might be a Joe Pool.
It might be a Joe Pool.
It might be a Joe Pool. I don't know. She's never really closed that deal on what happened to her. She's real dodgy on what happened to that damn gator.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, how do you handle that? Eventually, you got to be dang near a gator boy, gator handler, to get down there with it.
Facts.
She might have some accessories with the gator equipment.
She might have some new shoes.
Nice new boots.
Shoes, a belt, boots. Thong. You never know.
Yeah. All right, Lord willing. Creek don't rise. That's my time. I'm going out of here. Go Mavs. Go Rangers. Go everybody. Holla.
Go Rangers.
There he goes. Lucius Alexander. Most nights, 540 here. The G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for a proper round tripper brought to you by Uber Eats. Jared Sandler joins us with the pregame coming up at 6:30 as the Rangers open up a series with the Mets. That's coming up next. G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.